From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTVX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WTVZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
To Pominville centers, Parisi scores! Shooter holds, but we will head to a shootout. Here we go, Parisi against Halak. Off the post, and in! Dubnyk can win it if he can stop Tavares. And he does just that, and the Wild have won 10 road games in a row, rallying to beat the Islanders.
It really is incredible.
Yeah.
They just keep winning. 2-1. Yeah, again, over the Islanders. And now, you take a look at the standings. Here's the question, and we got a 651-989-9105. If anyone wants to weigh on this, 651-989-9105. Our young Hellboy here, I'll get him to weigh in on it. They've got 91 points now. Winnipeg's at 88 because they lost. They have the fifth best record in the Western Conference right now. And they're only three behind Chicago for the third spot. But the way they've played since the All-Star break and since they got Dubnyk, there's a lot of teams, like, let's say, the Gophers. When they make the NCAA tournament, people will be excited. Hey, they made the tournament. They won't care if they get knocked out. Same thing with the Wolves. First time they get back in the postseason, people will be excited. They're not going to expect them to win the NBA championship. Vikings are getting like that, too. Get in. Just make the playoffs. And people are, hey, we got the next year, it'll be better. This team, the way it's playing, I think anything short of the Stanley Cup makes this a disappointing season. I know how bad it was early, but you can't have the type of run they're having with Dubnyk since the All-Star break and then go in and people be happy with, getting in the postseason and not winning at all. Am I asking too much of these guys? This team was supposedly, when they got Parise and Suter, that's why they got them to win Stanley Cups.
It is a lot to ask of a team just to go out there and win a championship when it is that tough. But you just really do want to see even more progression than we've got the past couple of years. We made it to the playoffs, didn't get out of the first round. Last year we made it, lost in six games in the second round. So now I think I would be happy with seeing them make a decent run and at least get to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, I don't think, to me, that's not enough because they have the best record since Dubnyk got here in hockey. They're blowing everyone away in goals scored. I mean, what do they have? They have close to 100. Maybe it might be 100 now. Mm-hmm. And the next closest team, scoring goals since Dubnyk got here and since the All-Star break, was the Rangers. It's a hell of a team. And they've got, they're 30 ahead of them, at least. I think it's even hot more than that. So I do think they've set themselves up with a huge expectation. Making it's not enough. I don't think winning a few rounds is enough. I think they got to get to the Stanley Cup and win the damn thing.
Originally, when we signed Zach Parise and Ryan Suter on July 4th, that great year, I basically said, all right, we should make the playoffs the first year. We should make a run and at least come closer to the Western Conference Finals. And by year three, we should be competing for a Stanley Cup.
Well, then that's where they should be.
Yeah. Just seeing the progression of some of the young guys, some of them took a step back. A lot of them have been getting better more recently.
Yeah, they're all, but again, a lot of it is tied. There's more to it, I think, than Dubnyk. There were injuries. There were illnesses. And I don't think you could minimize the deaths of Suter's dad before the season started and what happened to Zach Parise's dad, JP, in season. That, I think, it's a team that in many ways, physically and emotionally, had healing to do. And it all seemed to, there was a confluence of good things that started to happen for the team with Dubnyk and guys getting healthy. And believe me, by no means am I saying it wasn't a good thing when you lose a dad and when two guys lose a father. But Zach Parise was playing throughout the season or up until the point his dad died, knowing he probably wouldn't make it through the season. And it's almost like it's a bit of closure maybe. And maybe I'm overstating it, but I don't know if you've had deaths in your family or not. Anyone close to you?
I've had a couple close friends die, but I haven't actually had a parent or anything quite like that.
Well, my dad passed away years ago and he had health issues and it is almost like there's a relief because your other parent doesn't have to live with it and deal with it. You're sad. You're incredibly sad, but you just have to move on. And you start to, as much as you miss them. And I don't know, maybe I don't want to get psychological on it, but that could be something that did happen. What I do want to do is put on our guest, Nick Hallett, who was at the news conference today for the United soccer team. They've got themselves an MLS franchise. And, Nick, the question I have, and I think a lot of people have, is, and they're being coy about it, what are the chances of them building it themselves with several billionaire owners? Or are they going to, I'm sure they're going to come to the state, or are they?
Right, right. The big question is obviously now the stadium. That's exactly how everyone, which every member of the Minnesota sports media was in attendance today. Huge event. And that was the lingering question that kind of didn't get fully addressed, is what's going to happen with this stadium? Where's it going to come from? Who's going to fund it? Of course, it's a question of public versus private. And you'd think, as you alluded to, it would be the Twins and United and all the grouping that they have there in the ownership group being able to fund it themselves.
Well, and the Wolves, too. Don't forget, I mean,
right. You're right.
You got two. Is McGuire a billionaire also? Because Glenn Taylor is, and the Pollard family is. I'm not sure. McGuire's pretty darn close if he isn't.
If he isn't, he's pretty darn close, as you say.
So, I mean, I don't. Honestly, I've been through all of these. You know, the Gophers getting a stadium. And that's the one that made the most sense. But the Twins getting a stadium. The Vikings getting a stadium. And I just don't see how anyone in politics can have a stomach for not a billionaire, which was the case with the Twins, and the case, again, you know, with the Vikings, but several billionaires coming to you hat in hand and saying, we need money for a new stadium. No one is going to put up with that or accept it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Bob, but to someone with your experience, have you ever seen that happen where a stadium is just basically privately funded by the ownership group? Just don't see it. And so that's why, for me, that was kind of the questions when they did take them and answer them today. They were coy, and they said, you know, we don't have a full plan yet. The commissioner said he felt the ownership group plan was strong. He was confident in it. But again, they kept it coy. You're not really sure what they're thinking. And again, I just get the sense that they are going to ask for public money. To what degree, I can't tell you, but it does seem that they are going to do that. And again, have you ever seen a stadium completely privately funded?
Yeah, actually, I have. I think the Redskins did it when their stadium was built. I think there have been privately funded stadiums. It's not the way most of them do it.
Right.
But what I wonder about, again, is how do you accept or how do you take a franchise for a city without having that plan? There's got to be the backup plan. Did anyone there, or did you ask, what are the are they looking at Target Field as an option, or are they looking at the Gophers? The Gophers Stadium, to me, is the best option. I've talked about it before. You just use the lower bowl. That gets them their 20,000 seats that they say that they need to have.
Yeah, good question. And with TCF Bank Stadium, yeah, it could work, and they've had a major soccer event there with the Champions Cup. Manchester City of the Barclays Premier League coming over during the summer. But that has also, from a TV standpoint, you could see the empty seats in that situation, and that's something the MLS absolutely does not want. So really, for this to work, the MLS would only have granted this expansion franchise if they believed Minnesota could get a stadium, soccer-specific, about 20,000 fans. And so you're right, though. What's the backup plan? And to me, the commissioner, though, felt confident. As I said before, when he addressed the crowd, seemed confident that this is going to happen. Said again, quote, that they had a strong plan at the ownership group. He believed in them that they're going to get a stadium. The backup plan, as I talked with the president of Minnesota United, Nick Rogers, he did kind of say that maybe the backup plan, which again is surprising because you'd think with a big MLS franchise coming in that you'd only have it if you have that nice new stadium. The backup plan would be for them to play in Blaine where they already play, but they would enhance that facility. I don't know if you've been up there, but that facility would need quite a lot of work to get up to that kind of level.
I mean, I know what the backlash will be, and it'll be because first of all, you're not talking about the NFL and the Vikings, who I mean, that's they are incredibly popular in the Upper Midwest and certainly in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. Same thing with the Twins; there's a great deal of popularity for them. And the Gophers, I mean, again, that's a college team. People had less of an issue. There's no way you're going to sell soccer to the populace when you have. And I did check. Bill McGuire is a, or has been a billionaire. Three billionaire owners. I've never heard of three billionaire owners going hat in hand to any to the city or to the you know to the state and saying, "Give us, we need money to build this." And it's I hope what they don't use is try to say, "Well, it'll you know we'll have a, we could kids that don't have an opportunity to play soccer can then use the." We don't need to hear that because we have stadiums for that. As a matter of fact, the stadium the Vikings have was for that. You know, they built it with the intent of getting a soccer team. They got shoved aside because of the whatever they did. The McGuire Group and Pollard and Taylor put a better presentation in front of the MLS. And I would hope, because you have to think, these are not stupid people. They, you don't make billions being dumb. Although
right.
Some could argue about some of the moves that have been made by at least two of the teams. I'm not so sure about McGuire's. However, I would think that if they really think they can get a stadium with public funding, they have some politicians that they think are going to be stumping for them. And I sure like to know who those politicians are. Because I
can
can't
tell you one.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, at the event today, Jacob Frey, council member, city council member, was taking a couple photos, maybe a couple. I couldn't see if there was a selfie in there or not, but definitely a couple group photos with the council member. So already seeing some politicians coming into the works there.
Oh, he's a city council member. So, well, that would mean they want to get city breaks, and maybe they want to get who owns the land? Is the farmer's market land owned by the city? Do you know?
I believe actually it's owned by United Property.
Which is a subsidiary
of McGuire's.
Well, McGuire though is he had stock options. I don't know that he still has a stake in United Healthcare. Does he? I didn't think he did. I thought he basically got bought out.
I'm not sure on the latest on that one.
651-989-9105, 651-989-9105, if anyone knows the answer to that. Also, I'd love to hear from somebody who thinks that they should get help financially from the state, or if you're against the idea, let's hear from you on that, too, because this is I think, hey, great, you're going to have a soccer team. I don't know that I'll go to any games, because honestly, I mean, when I was younger, I played soccer. My kids have played soccer. I'm just a lot of people love soccer, and I, you know, maybe because I haven't seen it. I saw Cosmos, the New York Cosmos, when they played. They played in New Jersey back in the 80s when I was living there, or late 70s, and they sold out. Well, excuse me, every seat was full, but they gave away most of the tickets, and that was the end of them when they wound up doing that. But at the highest level, it's a lot of fun. It is fun to watch, even though they're low-scoring games. And I honestly don't know how high. I mean, they're diluting their sport now, too, by adding all these expansion teams. And I just don't know what the motivation was for them to get a soccer team here, other than the
more
second
markets.
Tier.
More it's, markets seems to be the demand, is how can they get into more markets and expand the brand more globally.
Well, who has them? What network carries all their games?
Fox. Fox was at the press conference and held it live on Fox Sports.
North. Yes, but are they... Yeah.
Fox Sports 1, the larger one.
Fox Sports 1 has all their... They show a lot of these games?
Yeah.
Well, they don't really have anything else to show,
NBC Sports is also a part of it as well. NBC Sports has part of the contract as well.
How often do we see that? Well, anyway, you know what, Nick? I appreciate you taking time. Nick Hallett, you can catch him on Sundays from 8 to 10. The Wake Up Call. Also, you can catch his writing on... I'm sure you're writing about this, too, on 105theticket.com. And and if you haven't done it already, take a shot at them and ask, why would they need money with five billionaire owners or three billionaire owners?
There you go.
Nick, thanks for taking the time with us.
Absolutely, Bob. Have a good rest of your day.
All right, you too. I like the kid. He doesn't have a laugh, though, like our guy, his cohort, one of his cohorts on the Wake Up Call on Sundays. Let's hear Tom Schreier. No Tom Schreier? You did that again to me. You're unbelievable.
I'm ready.
All right. You know
not
what?
For that, though.
You'll hear Tom Schreier maybe when we return. And we're going to return, by the way, with Brady Shea, defenseman with the Gophers. They're going to be playing in the NCAA tournament. They're going to be heading into that. And we are going to talk to Brady when we return. First thing I'm going to ask him, how do you get Shea out of SKJEI? We'll be right back with Brady.
Do you live for hunting and fishing? Tune in to Ticket Outdoors with Brian Zepp.
Yeah. Yes, Dave. Oreck, where is the deer population in Minnesota? I think we can argue in northern Minnesota the numbers are down. Then I hear from guys in southern Minnesota and southeastern Minnesota, and they've got a big population of doe and
mature bucks.
And mature bucks, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, that's true. The antler point restrictions have really worked. Yes. We understand the problems up north, but our population is really healthy.
Ticket Outdoors, presented by Dan's Southside Marine. 2 hours every Wednesday at 7 on 105 The Ticket. The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
There's our guy, Tom Schreier. You got to get the human hyena to come in again. And by the way, just before, when my wife sent a quick text, I was on the 85 Strikers dance team. Leave soccer alone. I didn't realize I had a battle in the household over soccer.
That's where they teach them to kick.
That, yes, they do. They had the high kicks cooking. It's our Gopher segment, and we're going to talk to Brady Shea, Gopher defenseman. The Gophers, they're leaving in less than 2 hours to head out. It's actually kind of silly. They're sending them to Manchester, New Hampshire to play Minnesota Duluth in the Northeast Regional. Winner plays will play Boston U, the third or Yale in the regional final Saturday. Gophers, let's get them on. Brady, how are you? Hey, I appreciate you taking the time. Brady, I want to talk to you obviously about the regional. Before we do that, how do you get Shea out of SKJEI?
I have no idea. I get that quite a bit. It's Norwegian. That's all I really know about that. But I get messed up. Quite a bit.
What, did your parents ever tell you what this? I doubt they said it Shea in Norway.
The only story I really heard was it used to be spelled S K E I.
Oh.
And they added a J when they came over here. So
because that made it even tougher.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what they were thinking on that one, but.
Well, Brady, let's talk about what's happening this weekend. Now, when you first heard that you're going to play against Minnesota Duluth, everyone would think, well, you'd be playing in North Dakota or in this area. You have to go to New Hampshire to play against a fellow Minnesota team. A little weird, or you don't really care?
No, it's a little different, but it won't really matter once we get on the ice. So teams will be the same, and we know them really well since we played them 4 times already this year. So location won't be that much of a problem, but just the travel will be a little different.
Well, how do you, you guys are coming off of winning the Big Ten championship. I mean, you wound up winning the playoffs and the regular season. And, you must be feeling pretty good going into the tournament.
Yeah, we are. We feel like we're playing our best hockey right now at the best time of the season. Definitely been a little bit of a roller coaster year for us so far. But, we ended the season really well. And winning that Big Ten tournament there last weekend was a big step for us, and was definitely one of the goals that we wanted to accomplish at the beginning of the year. So we're confident. We had a really good week of practice this week, and we're just about to take off to New Hampshire right now.
Now, how better or different is your team? Because you've played them 4 times. You said they've beaten you 3 of the 4 times, and you scored 2 goals total in the last 3 games. Are you a different team, and in what way? I mean, does that stick in your head, or is it a little motivation knowing that?
I wouldn't say it's really in our head. I think, we know that we didn't play our best hockey when we played them earlier in the year. I think that we've made a step in, the right direction and playing the right way and, playing a physical game and getting the hard area of the ring instead of, playing to the outside. So, I think we're in a little bit of a slump when we're playing them, our first weekend there in Duluth and then at the XL. So, we feel more confident now, and, we've played them numerous times in our careers here, so we know what they have, and they're a skilled team, and they can definitely skate, so we'll be ready for them.
We're talking to Gophers defenseman Brady Shea. The team heads just less than 2 hours. You're at the airport, and you're heading from Manchester, New Hampshire, to play Minnesota Duluth. Obviously, you've had rivalries. Now, you certainly were part of the WCHA rivalries with them, so this is a team you're very familiar with. For your entire career, this is your third year. You're a junior, so you've certainly seen them, played with them regularly 2 years ago in the WCHA.
Yeah, definitely. And even before that, I think a lot of the guys on our team have played with or against guys on their team because a lot of the guys are from Minnesota, so we know each other really well. And you know, that makes it kind of nice going over to New Hampshire and playing.
Now, you have, every team talks about in hockey, a hot goaltender. You've got a pretty good one there.
Oh, I think we got the best in college hockey, so yeah, we definitely do.
Well, how different does it make your game playing defense, knowing you got Adam Wilcox back there, and do you take more chances, or can you play free, or not knowing you don't have to, you know, make sure he's protected as well? As, I mean, you know what it's like. I'm sure you've seen teams that have a civet goalie. This kid is very, I mean, Wilcox is terrific.
Yeah, he's amazing. You know, I think we try to play the same way and play the right way all the time, even whichever goalie's in. You don't want to cheat the game because that'll backfire. But no, Adam's unbelievable, and it's gives you a lot of confidence on the back end, knowing that you got him behind you, and you know that he's always going to stop the first shot taken, and it's, you know, it's our job to get the rebounds and get the other guys cleared out so he can do his job.
Talking to Brady Shea, the Gophers defenseman, as I said, heading to New Hampshire to play against Minnesota Duluth. Now, Brady, you guys are, based on seedings, you're an underdog in this game. Is that a role you don't, often the Gophers are, you know, they're higher seeds. You don't really care if you're an underdog or not, I would think.
No. We you know, seeds, once you get there, they don't really matter much at all. Every team can play, and we know what we can do, and we know the talent that we have, so we don't look at it as a seed thing at all. We're just going to go out there and play the way we know how to play, and hopefully come out with a couple wins.
When you guys, in some ways, I mean, you don't play as many games, but what's happened to your team, it didn't involve, you know, like a Devin Dubnyk coming in, but you struggled early in the season, and much like the Wild, you've gotten on fire. Your last 14 games, you're 11-3. And
yeah.
What changed for you guys to make it? Mean, was there a players-only meeting? Was it injuries early? Was it just things weren't clicking and it took a while to click?
Yeah, you know, I think it was, things just kind of weren't clicking for us. Hockey's a weird game, and you can work hard, but sometimes the pucks just don't bounce your way, and I think we were going through that a little bit in midway through the season there, but we knew a few weeks, I mean, about a month or two ago, that we needed to start win some games if we wanted to accomplish our goals and get into the tournament and win the WHA regular season. So there wasn't a meeting or anything, but I think it was definitely known. I mean, every day in practice, coaches would be talking about it, we'd be talking. And so we knew we had to start turning around, and we feel like we're playing our best hockey right now.
And again, talking to Gophers defenseman Brady Shea. Now, Brady, your rights are owned by the Rangers still, right?
Yep.
You were drafted,
yep,
I think, 28th overall by them. You're going into the NCAA tournament. The team that owns your rights is tied for the best, or actually Montreal has 1 point more, but it's a team a lot of people think can make a strong Stanley Cup run. Do you follow them closely? Or what do you? I mean, I know you're in the midst of your own season, but it's got to be fun watching a team that could wind up be a major Stanley Cup contender, and they have your rights.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think, all my focus right now is definitely here at Minnesota, but they're fun to watch. They definitely got a lot of talent, and they got a lot of great players that are fun to learn off of, and they loaded it up for the playoff run here, so they could go pretty deep. I think they're good enough; they can make a run.
Brady, I understand where you are because you are getting ready to play a game. But will you make a decision about whether to come back or whether to go to the Rangers after the year? Or are you absolutely committed to going back for your senior year?
I'm just gonna make a decision once our season's over. Hopefully after we live in Boston. I think I'll have to weigh the pros and cons of each one and make my decision there. But you know, it's unbelievable here at the U. It's so much fun, and the coaches are great, the teammates are great. So it's definitely a lot of fun here.
And now, I'm sure a lot of you guys know the women who won their third national title in the last 4 years. Is there any good-natured ribbing between the two of you?
They're incredible. They don't seem to lose, and they're fun to watch. And we know them pretty well here, just on campus and on the rink. So they got a lot of talent, and I think they're going to be good for quite a long time here. So they're fun to watch for sure. Our team is there supporting them on the national championship game and watching them win, so that was a lot of fun to see.
Now, Brady, before we let you go, I wanted to, now obviously it's difficult to be an athlete and at a, you know, in a D1 program and also do schoolwork during the season. I mean, how are you? Do you cut down the number of classes you take? And if you do come back for next year, would you graduate on time, or would you have to extend it and you'd still have more classes to go?
We probably take an average of like 13 credits a semester, so two below the average for other students, normal students. But we also take midterm and summer classes, so we're on campus all throughout the year taking classes and working out. So I think after this semester, all about 15 to 20 credits left to graduate. So I'm a little bit ahead of schedule, which is nice.
You did a heck of a job with that. Well, Brady, we really appreciate it. Thanks so much for taking the time for this Gopher segment. Brady Shea, Gopher defenseman, and go up there to New Hampshire and kick some ass.
We will. We will for sure. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yep, bye.
Bye. You know, we could really say that that was a guarantee. We will for sure. We won't do that to him, though. We have, you know, whoever's on hold there, let's tell them to hold off. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take that call, do a little D-bag of the day. Be right back with you. D-bag, need a bop bop. D-bag, need a bop bop. D-bag, need a bop bop. D-bag, douchebag. Before we get to that, let's go to Marcus in Richfield. He has a question about a former Viking, I believe. Marcus, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you doing today, Bobby?
Not too bad.
All righty. Yes, I do have a question about the former Viking. Looked like he started doing those spots with Robin Robinson back in the day. I mean, no other Viking was on the news like this guy. He had his own little deal with Channel 9 and all that good stuff. And then turns around and he just goes crazy. And he had a stellar career. He looked like he was doing good on TV. And then he starts drugging girls and raping girls. I guess my question is, what kept him from getting a sentence like Dave Meggett? I think Dave Meggett got 30 years.
Yeah, they basically threw away the key with him, I think.
Oh, they threw away the key with Dave Meggett. And do you think because Sharper still relevant, he still had a lot of cash, you think with some payola in that deal? And I'll let you finish.
Marcus, you can stay on if you want. No, I mean, we're talking again about Darren Sharper. We talked yesterday to Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense about it, and it could be just that these states, they all wanted to be done with it. And I think it's ridiculous that they're only giving him 9 years. He's already pled guilty in three of the states. Louisiana, they claim it's going to be a 20-year sentence, but some of it, 11 of it could be commuted, or he could just serve the rest of it, the other 11 years, as if it were, you know, with probation. And for what he did, it was 9 women, 9 years. That is ridiculous. I think they caved in. They should have put him on trial in one state. And what they could have done is get a conviction in that state. They had 4 states to get a conviction. He could have been put away for 20 or 30 years or more, or life, depending on the number of women. There were women that were going to come forward. So he had one hell of an attorney is what I think. And
but it leads to a lot of speculation just because, I mean, he made a statement. I guess he did something, some promo, and he was doing it for his daughter. He has a daughter, and he was saying that how men should be there for his daughters, and men should be, you know, a symbol of strength for women and all this. And then he contradicts it to the,
well, it was a crock,
to the worst degree. But what I'm saying is, though, you got a mom, you got daughters, you got a wife. I mean, these women got to have lived with this deal forever. And he gets 9 years. It just doesn't make any sense.
No.
And Meggett, they throw away the key for Meggett.
30 years is what he got, by the way. I looked it up quickly while we were talking. Meggett's serving a 30-year prison sentence. This was for rape and robbery of a Charleston, South Carolina woman.
Exactly. And what's the difference between rape and robbing a woman of her innocence? What's the difference?
Well, I don't. It's rape. I mean, he raped these other women, and he drugged them. I mean, I think they're both, you know, they're reprehensible. They're heinous crimes, and he should. I don't understand why they. Like I said, he had one hell of an attorney to broker this deal with 4 states just to get him. 9 years for what he did. So in 9 years he comes out, and what happens then?
He won't even be 50 yet, and any common guy punching the clock would have been thrown under the bus, and that'd have been it. And I just don't understand what they, you know, in all those states, you're talking about some of the most educated people on the planet. They're all judges. And it's like 9 years? Come on,
well,
man.
Well, Marcus, you know the other thing about this? Usually, and I've always thought it was wrong to make an example of a celebrity, but this is going against the grain of making an example of a celebrity. I mean, there's nothing farther away from it. This is like, well, you know, that's all he did was this. All he did was rape women. That's not an all he did. It's a horrible thing that he did. And I'm stunned by it too. I don't understand it, and I think it's wrong, and it's a shame one of these states. Now, here's the other thing, though. We talked to Marsh Hallberg about this from Hallberg Criminal Defense. If another woman comes forward, these things, yes, he has the 9-year deal in 4 states, but that can go to trial too, and he could wind up serving 30 years or more. And I certainly hope there are no other women that he did this to, but if there are any and they haven't come forward yet, there'd be a time to do it after all the states are done and say, wait a minute, this happened to me too. And again, I hope that there are no other women than the ones that we've heard about. Because
they're not even addressing the drug part of it. I mean,
no.
He could have been charged with drugs, possession, drug distribution, all that. And I got one more question.
Yeah.
I'll let you go. Is he going to make the Vikings Hall of Fame, the Wall of Fame with John Randall and Carl and the boys?
No, he's not going to. I would be stunned if he made the Ringer. But okay, Marcus, I'm glad you brought this up, because according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, they talked to the executive there, Joe Horrigan. He's eligible for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, my goodness. It
would stun me if he made it, because, I mean, there's like 40 or so people who vote for it, and I know a lot of those guys. I can't imagine them voting to put him in the Hall of Fame. But he was, he had six All-Pro seasons. There's no denying, as a player, he was a good player. A horrible person, but when he played, he was a pretty good player. And
if
that
Pete
would be,
Rose,
imagine that,
Pete
though.
Rose, if Pete Rose can't make it, he better not make it.
It would stun me. As a matter of fact, we're doing this D-Bag of the Day segment. We could throw out all the voters for the Pro Football Hall of Fame and just leave it out there. I can't imagine, most of these guys, and it's mostly guys on the committee, have wives or girlfriends. Could you imagine them coming home and saying, yeah, I voted for Darren Sharper? I think that alone would keep them from doing it. The hell they get from family members or the women in their lives.
That alone would make their marriage abstinence. There'd be some abstinence going on there, Bob.
There'd be a lot going on there, Marcus. Hey, Marcus, Marcus,
all right, Bob.
Love talking to you. Call us again real soon. Thank you. Hey, Marcus, did he leave?
Well,
I was going to see if he wanted some tickets. By the way, we do have tickets to a Swarm Game of your choice, 651-989-9105, if you're interested in that. Also, there's the Northwest, the outdoor show. I want to get to you. Sam, what's the exact wording of it? I don't want to screw that up. And that runs for several days. We have tickets for that, too. Sports show. Is it a sports show? Or...
we'll find out in a minute here.
Sam, fixing his microphone, getting it just the right angle.
It's the Progressive Insurance Northwest Sports Show at the Minneapolis Convention Center.
And it runs for, what, 5 days?
March 25th to March 29th.
Okay, that's what I thought. So we have tickets for that, too, if you're in. And it's lighting up. As it's lighting up, you know what, Sam, we'll put them on, too, but we have a few D-bags of the day to share. One D-bag of the day and one, actually an anti-D-bag of the day. The D-bag of the day, Larry Johnson, former NBA star, alleged deadbeat dad to, as TMZ puts it, 4 baby mamas. Larry Johnson accused of being a deadbeat dad by 4 women at the same time. He's 46 years old now, but he had a nice career. Filed bankruptcy in California earlier this month, claiming he's racked up more than $300,000 in debts. A chunk of those debts, according to documents, are owed to the 4 mothers of his children, who claim that Larry Johnson owes more than $120,000 in unpaid child support payments. Way to keep an eye on those millions we were making there, Larry, when you played. Pissing all that away. And then, this is actually a anti-D-bag of the day. Chad Johnson, he'd been an NFL wide receiver. There's a gal out there having her birthday, and I didn't realize you can do this, but there's a site, GoFundMe. She wanted to raise some money for her birthday plans. Chad Johnson donated $1,000, just a follower of his on Twitter. So good for him to do something like that. That's not, not too shabby a deal. And do we have somebody there? They're blinking. We have time for it? We don't have time for it because we got to take a quick break. And when we return, we'll be joined by Barbara Behrens from Behrens and Miller Law Firm. We're going to talk to her about this soccer thing. She knows a bit about that. We're also going to talk to her about, see that the Super Bowl organizers want almost $3 million of more tax breaks. Everybody just comes and says, hey, we need a break.
I want tax breaks,
well, yeah,
too.
We all do.
I'll take $3 million
worth
as well.
A multi-billion, billion-dollar corporation like the NFL looking for more tax breaks. And also, someone I think Barbara may know, Todd Jones, former state attorney. He was a big-shot attorney here, federal attorney.
Not the closing pitcher?
Not the closing pitcher, but he was hired by the NFL to oversee their, you know, their bad behavior department. We'll talk about those things and so much more upon our return.
Sports and legal issues. They don't mix very often, do they? Join Marsh Hallberg with Bob Sansevier every Tuesday afternoon at 3.
State records show that Minnesotans spent more than a billion dollars on charitable gambling this last year.
Not counting the tribal casinos?
Right.
They bet it illegally then.
There was $100 million bet legally on the Super Bowl in the United States this year. Illegal betting? $3.8 billion.
Wow.
Marsh Hallberg, every Tuesday afternoon at 3. Powered by Smart Start MN. 105 The Ticket. Here's Sports Radio 105 The Ticket on iHeartRadio. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
You like Barbara? You're good with this.
Okay.
I'm glad she liked it. I was a little worried here. I get nervous when we have guests on and he picks the wrong music.
I have a good memory, Bob.
He does. He does have a memory.
I played 8 days a week. She loved Beatles, so I went with another Beatles song.
Hellboy's
good.
He knows. Good job.
And if people wonder why Hellboy, David Helmer, it's a perfect thing, Hellboy. We are joined by Barbara Behrens from Behrens & Miller Law Firm. Barbara represented the NFLPA and Adrian Peterson in their cases against the NFL, kicked their ass. But Barbara, we're going to talk about quite a few things. But before we get into that, I would like to ask you about a question, not as an attorney, but as a woman. We had Marcus from Richfield called in asking about the whole Darren Sharper thing. I'm floored, and that's the word I used a little off the air, that he would only get 9 years in four states for the number of rapes that he admitted to committing and drugging women. I don't think I'm alone in this, but does it bother you? Or maybe because you're an attorney, you understand how the inner workings of these go to get a deal done.
Well, I think I wear two different hats there. I mean, a lot of times sentencing reflects society's values. And I remember when I was in law school, I heard a saying that if you're going to rob a house, rape the woman while you're at it, because the rape is for free. And I know historically, rape has been viewed as not as serious as some other crimes. And as a lawyer, I understand that, and understand that a lot of times sentencing reflects society's values. But as a woman, and having just actually recently talked to a woman who's been raped, that it ruined her life, I don't think a lot of people realize how much in fear women live and how devastating a rape is to a woman. And so as a woman, that troubles me terribly.
Well, and not just, there's the ripple effect to family members, too. I mean, how destructive it is to a life and the lives of people around them. That's a chilling thing. When you first heard that comment in college, I mean, you must have just said, whoa.
That was sobering. And it's also reflective of what was true at the time. And I hate to say it, but still, in many instances, largely true. Rape is historically something that has been condoned way too much for the comfort of women. And more than that, I mean, if you look at history, for example, I know because I just recently read it, when the Russians came into Germany, they raped over 2 million women. 2 million women. And most of those women were then rejected by their spouses. So it's the double whammy of not only being raped And there were literally over a million children born out of these rapes.
I had no idea.
And these rapes, these children were like the untouchables.
Yeah.
And the double tragedy, as you say, I'd like to think that nowadays maybe folks would be a little more sympathetic if a woman's been raped, that she is not to blame. But certainly in the defense of rapists, that's still traditionally one of the main defenses, is that somehow the woman asked for it, either by the way she acted or her clothing or having had something to drink. And it's really quite frightening as a woman to see that.
Well, I mean, if there's something beyond reprehensible, that is beyond it, because that mindset could still exist, and something existed with these four states to basically make it a 9-year sentence for, I believe the number was at least nine women to drug and rape. It's just disgusting. Now I have to try to transition from that to what I originally wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
We're talking to Barbara Behrens from Behrens and Miller Law Firm, and the Major League Soccer had a news conference today. They're coming to town. They've awarded a franchise to three billionaire owners: Bill McGuire, Glenn Taylor, and the Pollard family. And Bill McGuire was the spokesman for the group, and the United team is basically being elevated. The team he's owned in the North American, the NASL, is being elevated. But he left open that they have not said, well, we got the money, we're going to build our own stadium, that they may actually try to go for public money. You've been here and seen the battles for the Twins and for the Vikings, not as much for the Gophers, but for the Twins and Vikings in particular. Do you see any climate where they can get money from the state or from the city?
Well, I think, as I've referenced when I've been on here in the past, typically when a group brings in some sort of professional team, the first thing the politicians tend to say is absolutely not, no way, we are not doing it. And certainly Dr. McGuire's statements, I think, today were left open the door for
sure
the notion that they will become knocking on the door, and how relatively cheap it is to build a soccer stadium as compared to, like, the Viking stadium.
Well, sure. Okay, relatively cheap. It's 100 to 200 million.
Exactly.
And you know it's not going to be 100 million.
Exactly.
It'll be closer to the two.
Exactly. And I noticed he was also talking about how this is an area over by the Minneapolis Farmers Market that really needs development, and it would be a very, very good thing to trigger other sorts of developments in that arena. So I would be very surprised if they're not going to be coming knocking on the door of either the city and or the state for some sort of funding of some nature.
Well, we talked earlier to Nick Hallett, who was at the news conference, and he said that there was a city council member there who was clapping his hands and, you know, excited about it. So I'm sure they're going to go to the city for tax breaks, which is another thing that I wanted to ask you about. The tax breaks, now that the Super Bowl Organizing Committee wants almost $3 million in more tax breaks. It's amazing what the NFL, the demands, how they extort these states and these cities to get Super Bowl teams. But you certainly know how these things work. I'd be surprised if they didn't get it.
I would be surprised if they don't get it too. I know the statistics seem to show that the theoretically the city's going to get over $30 million in taxes,
yep,
from bringing the Super Bowl here. So if it becomes a matter of $3 million on one hand, $30 million in benefits on the other, I think it becomes much easier to sell, and I am not surprised that the NFL is seeking this sort of additional tax breaks over and above what they already get.
Now, talking to Barbara Behrens from Behrens and Miller, did you know Todd Jones when he was here?
I did.
Okay, and he was a federal attorney, and now he's had some pretty good jobs, but now he is the head of the NFL's basically. He's going to oversee all the bad behavior of the league. And having known him, he sounds like a guy. I mean, he's had some pretty good jobs in between there, too.
I think Todd will be excellent in that position. I consider him a friend of mine, so I should probably put that out there right up front.
Well, but you like him, though, so that's a plus for him.
I like Todd very much. I think he's a very fine gentleman. I think he is a brilliant hire for the NFL for many reasons, including the fact that he does have the background that, that Todd does. And I think he will add some gravitas and dignity in that arena. And I think I think it's a wise move on the NFL's part.
Well, that's rare for a change, isn't it? You having been on the opposite side, representing the NFLPA and Adrian Peterson. And Todd Jones, by the way, after he left Minnesota, where he was a federal prosecutor. What was his title? Was he a federal prosecutor?
He was both an assistant U.S. attorney and then ultimately the U.S. attorney,
okay.
Meaning the head of those offices.
But then he went to become the head, the director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. That's
yes.
A heck of a job, too. I mean, so he definitely has the background for it. Barbara, we're going to take a quick break, and hopefully you can stay. Barbara Behrens from Behrens & Miller. We're going to talk to the executive vice president for the St. Paul Saints, Tom Whaley. I don't know if you've ever met Tom.
I have not.
I talked to him earlier today. He's got a great sense of humor, and we'll talk to him about they're in their new stadium. You know, the offices are there, so that'll be fun. And so we'll have some fun talking to Tom. And also, we're going to give you this. In May, there's a tryout coming up. How about you, Hellboy, a baseball player?
Yeah, why not?
What's your position?
Everywhere, actually. I'm kind of a utility person.
We're going to send you.
Guy.
Down there, especially with your alleged wheels.
Okay.
What did you run, a 4-1 something, a 4-2? What was it? What did you say you ran?
4-5.
I thought it was a 4-4-4-4-4-3. 4-5?
Then I'm blowing smoke.
4-5 what?
Seconds.
4-5 what? No, 4.5 flat?
It ranged from 4.50 to 4.55.
We'll be right back with Speedster Hellboy. Barbara Behrens from Behrens Miller and St. Paul Saints executive Tom Whaley. Be right back.
Pure Sports Talk, 105 The Ticket.
We're back. And happy to say we're still joined by Barbara Behrens from Behrens & Miller Law Firm. Barbara was part of the ass-kicking that the NFL took at the hands of the NFLPA and Adrian Peterson a month or so back. And now we go to a former attorney, Tom Whaley, executive vice president of the St. Paul Saints. Tom, I want to introduce you to Barbara. What type of, I didn't ask you when we talked earlier, what type of law did you do?
Well, that's loosely defined, lawyer. So, no, I am admitted. I did mostly transactional stuff. I did contracts and things like that. I did a lot of transportation law. I had a client that was a moving company, so I did a lot of that.
My father worked for a moving company. He was an estimator for one and a general manager. But that was in Jersey, back in Union City, New Jersey.
There we go.
So
there
if you ever have to go out there and need a mover, you let me know.
I will do that.
Now, Tom, I after we talked, I got an email from Sean Aronson. He does a great job, by the way, with your PR. Mm-hmm. And whatever he's paid, it should be tripled. I'm sure he tells you that every day, too.
Yeah, well, that's not quite as much as he wants, but...
Oh. Well, but on, I think it's May 7th is the date you're going to have an open tryout, and you have that every year. But how exciting is it to have the open tryout that first year at your new stadium, which when we talked earlier, it just sounds spectacular.
It'll be fun. We usually find, I mean, I'd say not every year, but maybe every 2 or 3 years, we find somebody that ends up on the club. You know, there's a lot of really good ball players that are playing, you know, D2 or D3, and we'll have kids travel from, you know, quite a ways away. To do the tryout because we have a rep of signing guys out of the camp and that end up, you know, some of them stuck with us for, you know, for really long periods of time. So it's a lot of fun to do, and it's a real grassroots way to kind of stay in touch with the local baseball community.
And also Tom Whaley, the executive vice president of the St. Paul Saints. You don't pre-interview. Anyone can show up, right? It's not like you have to prove anything.
No, it's kind of, well, it's somewhere between sad and funny with some of the folks who show up.
I got to tell you something, Tom. I did this when I was at the Atlantic City Press. I went to one of these tryouts, and it was the Baltimore Orioles having the tryout, and I pitched. And they had me up there for 20 minutes to half an hour pitching because it was like somebody throwing BP for these guys. And after I got done, I walk off and the mound, and somebody in the stands goes, "What happened? The knuckler wasn't working?" I said, "I was throwing nothing but heat." What are you talking about, knuckler?
So that's funny.
But we have, and one of the reasons Barbara Behrens from Behrens & Miller is here, she's going to represent Hellboy, David Helmer. Let me ask you this. How many guys have come through your tryouts that had 4.5 speed in the 40? He claims to have run the 40 in 4.5 flat, and he plays every position on the field. Well, okay, what's your position?
I never pitched or played first base. I did play at every other position.
Well, what's your best position? Because you can only play one there.
Third base and outfield have been my best, but also the last time I played second base, I dislocated my shoulder turning a double play. So that happens too frequently.
Well, Tom, what is it? Where do you need the most help so that he has the best shot? Outfield or third base? We'll put him wherever you could use the most help.
Well, if he's 4.5 40, he's got to be in the outfield, right? I mean,
yeah. Can you follow a ball when it comes to you? Can you make a catch?
I can try. It'll probably hit me too.
Well, you know what? Maybe you could do. Wasn't the Oakland A's years ago? They had a guy that just came in that was a sprinter. Who the heck was it now? Was it Washington?
Oh yeah.
Just came in to run the bases, to steal bases.
Beebe? Was his last name Beebe? I can't remember.
No, I don't think it was. I'm trying to remember. Was it Ron? No, I got to think. Look that up because you can find Oakland A's base runner stealer track athlete.
He could do nothing else but steal bases. That's right. I remember that. That's
but
right.
Maybe you could use one of those with the 4.5 speed. And, of course, you'll have to deal with Barbara Barron, so it will be a tough negotiation.
That's right, Tom. You better watch it.
All right. Our salary cap's in danger here.
She kicked the NFL's ass. She'll try kicking yours, too.
That's
For the 4.5 speed, though, it might be worthwhile.
Now, come on out.
We are going to send him out. He's coming out.
All right.
Now, have any of the players or many of the players seen the new ballpark? And I didn't ask you about this when we talked earlier. What response are you getting from players and your coaches and manager?
Well, coaches and manager have seen it. Kerry Leitenberg is our pitching coach, and of course, Kerry is in town here throughout the year. Our manager, George Samus, lives out in Connecticut, and George is like a kid on Christmas Eve, man. He can't wait to get going. He's super excited, and some of the local guys that are in town here, there's probably a handful, three or four guys that have been out to see it, and everybody's just, you know, they can't believe it and can't wait to get camp started.
It was Herb Washington. I thought it was a Washington.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
The guy that was a designated runner. Every team should have one.
They should.
Especially for the big lumbering guy who can't run past first base.
Right.
Late in the game, you need that run. You know, I'm reading a book, and Tom, I don't know if you've seen it, but Bill Pennington used to work for the New York Times. Mm-hmm. He's written a book, and it's a great book about Billy Martin.
I haven't read it yet.
All right, I followed, you know, because I lived in New York, but I didn't follow it that closely. I was, I was a sports writer then, but I wasn't covering the Yankees. But throughout his career, the things he did, the double steals, he had a triple steal at one point, and he wanted guys to steal home. I mean, he did everything he could think of to manufacture runs. But that's the type of thing that people love watching. That
it's fun as long as it's not being done to you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He used to make guys nuts. Oh man. Just nuts. I had there was a guy here. I'm drawing Johnny Blanchard, who passed away within the last 5 to 10 years. He was the backup catcher on all the great Yankee teams, and Mantle was his roommate. Had the funniest Billy Martin story. And I, I, guys,